is IBM, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
God is the light, God is the light. How great the wonder of the heavens and the timeless beauty of the night. How great, then how great the Creator. And its stars like priceless jewels, far beyond the reach of kings. Bow down for the shepherd guiding him home.
This is From Darkness to Light.
But how many eyes are closed to the wonder of this night?
With your host, Harun Chambel.
Beneath the dark stream of desire, but like dreams vanish with the call to prayer, and the dawn extinguishes night. Here too are signs. God is the light, God is the light.
Welcome to another episode of From Darkness to Light. I'm your host, Harun Chambel of the Islamic Broadcasting Network. Today we have with us Sister Aziza Muhammad, who is a convert to Islam of some 4.5 years ago. So without any further ado, we would like to warmly welcome you by saying Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. I'm having a little problem hearing you, brother.
Okay, we're going to adjust some things here with our engineer. So we would like to begin by asking you, if you could give us maybe a brief nutshell answer type summary of why it is you chose Islam. We're going to get to the how in a minute and get to the meat of the matter, but for the beginning, we want to know, and for our viewers as well, to know why it is that you chose Islam.
Well, I honestly feel that I had nothing to do with it, that I had become an atheist, and I believe it was just Allah's mercy and generosity that he gave me this opportunity. I feel like I wasn't good enough. I didn't earn it. It was just through Allah's mercy. I had never known Muslims. I didn't know anything about Islam. And finally, one day, Allah brought my attention to the actions of a Muslim in a business situation. And from that point on, I realized I was a Muslim.
Wow. So let's get to the how then. Obviously, you're already giving me some green lights to go into a certain direction. Let's start first by talking a bit about your background. You had just mentioned that you were an atheist.
Yes.
Is that how it had been for you since you were, since you can remember? Or did your family bring you up in a certain religion or what have you? Or was it always like this for you?
I was raised as Methodist, and I had questioned my faith because a lot of our relatives have died, and a lot of things in our family had been happening, and I made the mistake that a lot of people who don't know Islam, don't know Allah do. They judge Allah, astaghfirullah, based on the human beings, the conditions. And so by the time I was, late teenage years, I was just very confused and depressed. But I saw goodness around me, and it made me think that there must be something. People of faith, I admired them. I wish I knew what they knew about faith, about God, but it just didn't resonate with me. Because in this society, especially pre-9/11, if you weren't a Christian, no one would say to you, oh, you should look at Islam. It wasn't on the board. You were other. You were just dismissed. There was nothing else to go to. So for, a couple decades there, I tried to be a good person. I tried to act with what I thought was a godlike behavior and values, but I had no sense of Allah. I had no sense of who I was and why I was here, basically.
Right.
So
you basically your thing was is that you didn't really believe in a particular religion, so to speak.
No.
But even though you were considering yourself atheist, you still deeply embedded in your heart, you believed in God.
I was too confused. I didn't know. I had done church shopping and I had looked at other faiths, but I didn't look at Islam. Islam was not on the board. It wasn't in my immediate surroundings. It wasn't an option. I had no idea.
What were some of the other faiths that you looked into?
Well, I looked at Buddhism. I looked at Hinduism. I went to other churches when I was younger. I couldn't get past, it seemed like people were doing things. I don't mean to judge them, because of course everybody's responsible for themselves and everyone's experience is because of Allah's guidance and his way. But it just didn't resonate. It felt like people were doing things for themselves and not beyond. There was always an other. If you would follow this creed, that means you would be against this creed. And that just didn't feel right. I know now that was Allah guiding me and protecting me. And I thank Allah that I didn't get into paganism or some of these other things that I believe people get into, because, again, they're searching, they're striving, they know in their heart that there's something out there. They just don't know it's Allah.
Mm. So now let's maybe briefly let's touch then. So what was the difference for you, you know, when you witnessed the actions of a Muslim in a business transaction with you?
Well, this is what was so strange. It was basically I would stand in line at a gas station.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those that the person is sealed inside and there's a line outside.
Right.
And I noticed that, of course, Allah made me notice that people were standing in line and it was after work and they were impatient and they were, you know, they didn't want to be in line. But when they interacted with this man, they would turn around and their shoulders would be squared and there'd be a smile on their face. And this happened again and again and again. I'd watch this for several weeks, you know, and I'd get gas or get a snack or get a Coke or something. And one day nobody was in line.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm basically a shy person, but I felt so compelled to say, "What are you doing? Who are you?" And he laughed. He said, "I'm a Muslim."
Hmm.
And I'm thinking, Muslim? Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. The ones that make their wives wear those things on their heads and walk behind them. Stuck for love. And he said, "You believe in God, don't you?" And I said, "No, I'm an atheist." And his jaw dropped, but he was very polite. And he said to me, "I would like to talk to you more about this, but could you please, please think about God?"
Hmm.
And that I was startled. No one had ever said to me, "Think about God." They had said, you know, look at my church, look at my practice, look at, you know, what I the rituals I do. They'd never said, look for God. So I went home and I prayed. I prayed as I did as a child. And it's just so personal. It's hard to describe, but I felt that sense of, I know who I am now. I realized I was a Muslim.
Hmm.
Alhamdulillah.
When you first, like, took this man's advice, you went home and you prayed, what specifically, like, happened to you? What kind of reflections came to you? What entered into your heart? What happened?
Well,
that made such a big change for you that, like, you were like, okay, well, you know, this is, you know, I guess this is what I am. You know what I mean? How, you know what I'm saying?
I wish I could describe it, but it was emotional, and it just reinforced to me that it was Allah's guidance. It was nothing I did. I assumed the position as it is as a Christian child at my bedside with my arms, you know, together in prayer, like I used to say, "Now I lay me down to sleep." And I remember looking up and saying, "God," and I started crying, and I felt this wave, this warmth. It's hard to describe. Mm. My husband told me a story a long time ago about an idol worshiper who was naming his idols as he was doing his rituals, and he slipped and he said Allah. And at that moment, Allah gave him guidance.
Hmm.
And that's the only way I can try to describe it, that no matter who you are, no matter what you've been or what you've done, when you call to Allah, and I was very sincere in calling to him, subhanAllah, he answers, he comes to you, he brings you out of that darkness.
Mm.
And again, I have to emphasize, it's not anything I did. I think I'm hoping it was the sincerity of my request, but it's just that Allah does not give up on us.
Mm.
He gives us so many opportunities. I was 36 years old at the time.
Mm.
So it's just that I think the message is don't give up on people.
Mm.
I mean, I pray for President Bush every day. I don't give up on anyone. I figure if, you know, I wandered around for years in darkness, and still Allah, He gave me this beautiful gift. I know that it's available to anyone and everyone.
Mm. Hold that thought. We're going to step away for a few brief messages from our sponsors. You're listening to From Darkness to Light.
The following is NBA star Hakeem Olajuwon.
Conflict, confusion, loneliness, house. They're all part of growing up. If you have problems like these, drugs won't make them go away. Not marijuana, not crack, not LSD, not cocaine, not heroin. Drugs only make it worse. Stand up for your life. Don't do drugs. So what's it?
Brought to you by your Americans.
This public announcement is to you by the Islamic Media Foundation.
On the earth, and the creatures who dwell on her. How great, then how great, the Creator.
Welcome back to From Darkness to Light. This is your host, Harun Chambal of the Islamic Broadcasting Network. We've been here with Sister Aziza for our first segment of our show. We're going to pick up where we left off. Sister Aziza, it's interesting, while we were on the break, I was thinking about the last thing that you had said, and it's interesting to me, like a saying of Prophet Muhammad came to my mind, some peace and blessings be upon him came to my mind, when you were talking about how you had taken the advice of this man, and you had gone home, and you found yourself like you used to when you were a child, sitting at your bedside, you know, and supplicating to God, and the interesting thing is that there's a few interesting points, actually. One is that a child in Islam is considered to be born in a state of natural submission to God.
Mm-hmm.
And so that child is always, like, inclined to those kinds of behaviors and actions that are innocence. And mm-hmm. so it's interesting how you mentioned, like, as a child, mm-hmm. you know, as a child, how you used to pray, you found yourself there again. It's as though, you know, after 36 years of your life, you're returning back to your innocence.
Yes.
You know? And
I also think that bears out what we've heard. And I'm not a scholar, of course, but that we're all born with that natural state, and it stays with us as long as we don't squash it out by shirk and other means.
Right. The thing that really got to me, though, was the aspect, you know, there's the hadith that came to my mind. There's a hadith in which God says, He says, O son of Adam, right, as long as you continue to call on me, I will assist you, right? And the hadith goes on, you know, to a longer extent. But the point of it is, it's important, is that we find different sayings of Prophet Muhammad in which you know, it's, you know, and even more so, like in verses of the Quran, in which God is addressing certain types of people. It may be, O you who believe, O you people of the book,
mm-hmm.
you know, O you polytheists. Here, hang in this saying, in this tradition, O son of Adam, which is who? Everybody. It's everybody. It's
right.
not Muslims, it's not Jews, it's not Christians, it's not Buddhists or, you know, Hindus or anyone of that matter. It's everybody. Every
right.
single category and type of human being, O son of Adam. We're all children of Adam.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so he's saying this to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you, you know, continue to call on me,
mm-hmm.
I will assist you.
And that's absolutely, I found that absolutely true in all aspects of my life.
Right.
And I look back now and I see that Allah protected me and the things, that, the way my life, it was only Allah. It was protection from Allah. Why I was so different than everyone. Why I always, you know, on my own pretty much. I understand now.
Right.
First I thought there was something wrong with me.
Right.
That's what society tells you. This society, if you don't participate the way it dictates.
Right.
SubhanAllah.
What did you, once you had the, started to have these breakthroughs, were there any kinds of like trials or tribulations that you had, any type of situations, like even within yourself, even, you know, even more so,
well,
and like you were starting to realize, okay, this is what's right for me and it feels right in my heart, but there were things that are holding you back? Was there situations like this?
Well, I didn't know anyone. I didn't know any Muslims. I didn't know where they were. And it turns out right across the street from the apartment that I was living in, is a main thoroughfare, there was an Islamic center.
Hmm.
I couldn't see any sisters. I didn't know which door to go in. I was completely ignorant. I had started being an internet Muslim, but I was so shy because here I am walking from, you know, Jahiliyyah into Islam, and I was so ignorant. I didn't want to do anything wrong or offensive. Suddenly every action, every intention, everything was being under review. It's like walking through a mirror almost. Suddenly you're aware of how you were lacking before. And it took a long time to realize that Allah had actually forgiven everything.
Right.
So I was starting over, and I needed to just relax and seek knowledge and seek out people. So again, the lesson that I try to give new sisters is, you know, seek out, ask questions. Don't let this situation, the state of being where you're confused and you don't know what to do, or you feel like you're not good enough to ask or bother people, get away from that. Ask, ask, ask. Allah wants you to move forward, but you have to take reasonable measures.
Hmm.
So that was a big challenge for me, because as a non-Muslim, I'd become pretty much a loner. So Islam is definitely not about being loners. It's about being in community. It's about coming together for the good. It's about serving Allah as a community and individually. So that was a big challenge for me.
Mm.
But alhamdulillah, you know, I realized from that first day the power of dua. So I've continuously asked Allah, and I know Allah always hears me. No matter what I say, no matter what I do, I know Allah always hears me, alhamdulillah. So I keep asking, and every day I see that Allah answers me.
Mm.
SubhanAllah, this is such a beautiful deen, and we're so fortunate to have Allah. It's just a message that I desperately want to carry to other non-Muslims, and I hope I'm trying to acquire formal knowledge and be able to do that on a better footing. So that's my next challenge, is actually Islamic studies.
What would you say it is in the mostly the biggest and greatest thing for you that Islam has given you that you didn't have before?
Oh, Allah. To know Allah, and of course we barely know Allah, but what we know from His names and attributes, from what we can tell by the example of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it just gives you such peace. It gives you dignity. It tells you why you're here. It gives you goals in life. You know what to do. There's no questions anymore. You don't have to sit back and there's no depression. There's no need to hurt other people. You know what I mean? It just makes your life complete, and it gives you that striving to follow Allah and to know more about Him. It just gives you peace.
Mm.
It's just so beautiful, subhanAllah.
Well, okay, for our viewers that may not be familiar with the word or concept of Allah, how would you say that the Islamic understanding of who God is different from the way that you understood who God is as a child or growing up, if there is a difference? And in what ways was it similar? Is it similar?
Well, again, in my understanding, God is a reflection of people. Allah, which means the God, doesn't mean he or she, the God, the Creator, is so far above us, we're limited because we're the creation of Allah.
Mm.
The Creator and creation, and there's an absolute difference. We can't even begin to conceptualize Him. We can't even begin to understand or know Him. We are not His children. We're not His, we're His creation. And there's a distinct relationship between us. Once you get past this idea that He's like us or we're like Him, it frees your mind. It frees your mind from the limitations that our limitations are put upon Him. And that's what I believe Christianity, at least from my experience, made it unpalatable to me. When you realize that Allah is nothing like us, and so far, you realize He's the only one worthy of worship. That's the best way I can try to describe it.
Hmm. Okay. With that thought, we're going to have to take a break. We're going to step away for a minute for a few brief messages from our sponsors. You're listening to From Darkness to Light of the Islamic Broadcasting Network.
Abdullah ibn al-Bithar was one of the greatest scientists of Spain. He was born in the city of Malacca in the end of the 12th century. He learned botany from Abu al-Abbas al-Nabati, and he started collecting plants in and around Spain with him. In 1224, Ibn al-Bithar entered the service of al-Kamil, the Egyptian governor, and was appointed chief herbalist. His greatest contribution was Kitab al-Jam' fil Adwiya al-Mufrada, which dealt with medicinal plants in Arabic. The encyclopedia contains over 1,400 items, mainly medicinal plants and vegetables, of which 200 plant species were not known of before. Ibn al-Bithar died in the year 1248 AD. This has been A Minute of Muslim Civilization from IBN.
As its mountains pierce the clouds, high above the lives of men, weeping rivers for thousands of years. But how many hearts are closed to the wonders of its sight?
Welcome back to From Darkness to Light. This is your host, Harun Chambel of the Islamic Broadcasting Network. In our final segment here with Sister Aziza, we'd like to wrap things up with a few, I guess, a few important questions that could assist us and also our viewers in our, you know, struggles and paths towards guidance and enlightenment and openings. The first question that I would like to ask you in this last segment is, what has been the greatest struggle for you since after you have become Muslim?
It's two things, and they're probably combined. The concept of nafs, this that we're struggling against and trying to control.
The desires in the lower self, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. And that's because they've gone, you know, for now 40 years unchecked and with my ignorance. And also learning Arabic language. I desire so much to read Quran in Arabic and understand it. And it's been hard because our communities aren't, we don't have the institutions that I feel we need to really, really appreciate this deen and get to know it firsthand. And that's teaching Arabic. At least in Ohio where I was living at the time, we didn't have Arabic classes. I was working at the time and I couldn't go to the university. So I think it's a challenge for the community to teach us all Arabic. Because if we're all speaking the same language, it gives us empowerment with our Muslim identity. It gives us original sources. It gives us access to the scholarly works in the original language, not colored by translations or cultural means. So that's something it's been a struggle for me personally because I haven't been in school in a long time, and learning a second language is challenging. But I'm hoping that all the struggle is rewarded by Allah, inshallah.
How would you say that you've what kind of practices or methods have you tried to utilize to get victory over your lower self and over your desires?
Well, just being aware and doing as much reading as I can. Allah has given us everything in the Quran and amplified it with Sunnah. You can't separate the two. So I've tried to find, I've tried to read and seek knowledge. I think that's the only way to go. I think we're told that actually in Quran. So when you seek knowledge, you realize, you learn about yourself. You learn how Allah has created us. You learn what the interaction between Quran and our lives on a daily basis is, and I think that's just crucial. So also having a really good husband partner to reflect and process and talk about things. Also halakha. Being in a halakha, especially for Muslim converts, I think it's just crucial. A good halakha, you'll get all kinds of information, plus you can speak to your sisters on all issues. It's just a beautiful format. So between those elements, I felt like I've come a long way. I have a long way to go. We all do. It's a continuous struggle, but it feels so good that when you one day you realize that you've conquered, or today you've got that naff under control. Subhanallah.
So how would you say now that you've become Muslim and that you've started to be exposed and opened up to these new, you know, shades of light and things of this nature, that your family has reacted, or how have you reacted with your family? How have you all interacted with one another with this change?
Well, here again, I'm sort of different. My parents have been deceased for a number of years.
Hmm.
I have one sibling, and she's very accepting. And I know that, I can't speak for her, but I know that in my interaction with her, I strive to use Islamic behavior and manners, and I believe it's made a better relationship. And I ask Allah to give her guidance, inshallah.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of my family, they're just sort of all over, and they're not very close. Those were some of the issues that challenged me when I was younger. I have written to some, but they've not responded. And you know, inshallah. I keep trying to reach out to them.
What about your friends that you have?
Well, you realize when you become a Muslim, everything changes. You look at your friends and what they're doing, and you see the things that they're doing just don't. It usually doesn't measure up to what you're striving for. So. I have acquaintances who are non-Muslim. I've had coworkers who are non-Muslim, but my friends are Muslims because, as we know, as we're taught by the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your friends are the people who are going to influence you the most.
Right.
So, I try to do dawah to the best of my ability, to open myself up, to allow, especially the women coworkers, to ask me any question about my personal experiences, because they have. Just like I did, they have a lot of misinformation, stereotypes, and things dead wrong. So I'm hoping that Allah will give me a chance to, give back. It's hard to repay Allah, but you want to try to help with those misconceptions and stereotypes. And I just keep asking Allah to open hearts, inshallah.
Okay, we have about 2 minutes left. In about 60 seconds. Give me any kind of closing advice that you would feel could benefit us and our viewers in terms of this whole concept and what we've been talking about for the past half an hour.
Well, I think it's crucial for the convert to seek knowledge, sacred knowledge, sunnah knowledge, and there are many online universities like American Open University, Islamic American University, Amir University. I think we have to get involved with these courses. Most of them also have, universities. So check them out, get enrolled. Even if you're just taking one class, pursue knowledge. That would be my best advice.
And for any of our viewers that are not Muslims, in 20 seconds.
just talk to your Muslim neighbors. Go to masjids, go to mosques, ask questions. Ease your heart. Know that we are busy trying to do right by Allah. We're using our time and our efforts to get closer to Allah, not to hurt anybody, not to disparage anybody, not to convert anybody, because we don't have that power. Get to know your Muslim neighbors.
Thank you very much. We'd like to thank you for joining us and for sharing this information with us. We would like to say for all those people who have been listening that are people of faith, we would like to say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And for all of those people who are not people of faith, just remember that it's never too late. Thank you, and join us again for From Darkness to Light.
God is the light everlasting. God is the light everlasting. God is the light everlasting. God is the light everlasting.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the Internet.